Invite your attention this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I want to take time this morning to read a rather lengthy passage. I want to read from verse 1 through verse 26, or rather 21, of chapter 6. And the subject today, to make it just a brief title, Jesus Knows. Jesus Knows. It'll be evident as we read through this in verse 6 that our Lord put some folks to the test, but He knew what He'd do. And He knew what He could do. And sometimes we think we can do, but we can't. But the Lord can. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, again, I thank You for Your word. And my desire is that in this service, Jesus Christ be glorified. That name exalted and lifted up. And I pray that You'll help each person to be attentive to the things of the Lord today. And Lord, I pray even as Paul asked the church to pray for him, that we might make the gospel known like we ought to make it known this morning. So, Father, I pray that You'll just bless Your word to hearts as we read it, and then use the message to encourage folks along the pilgrim's way. Maybe somebody even needs to respond and trust Jesus Christ this day and hour. For I pray in His precious name. Amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes, saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove them, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. When even was now come, His disciples went down unto the sea, entered into a ship, went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. He saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Well, in verse 6, you find the statement, the Lord knew what he would do. He had something in mind. And I want you to just, this is something I just want to give you by way of introduction and hopefully just to encourage you that sometimes there may be trials in your life that you don't have a clue about. But the Lord knows what he's doing. And he knows what he will do, and he knows what he can do. And so the best thing to do is just trust him. As in the case that is before us, these men really had no clue about what to do. They had a little information, but that's about all. And they were half-hearted in that, and I'll mention that in a moment. But Jesus had a multitude to feed. 5,000 men that were seated there at that particular time. And I would think that there was certainly maybe others that were there, like the child that would not have been necessarily counted in adulthood, and others that would have been present. So there was a great host of folks to feed. If I could draw the simile just for a moment, I would tell you that one of the greatest feats that was ever performed was the providing of salvation for mankind. Man didn't have a clue. He had no means, no wherewithal to make any kind of a purchase. We certainly could not make an atonement because we had nothing to offer that was of any value. The idea of atonement is that the price has been paid. And so the price was far more than man could ever pay. But Jesus knew what he would do. When he left heaven, the plan was already set into effect. Calvary's cross was before him. Without any question, and thank God without any hesitation, he came into this world to save sinners, as Paul said, of whom I am chief. But Jesus had a, and has a multitude to feed today. They don't have enough money. Philip said, really, we just don't have that kind of money on us. Well, I think most of us can identify with that we certainly don't have it within the realm of our means to provide even the least, much less the greatest. And then there's not a sufficiency even in the crowd, except for the little child that God's going to bless and use the gift that's given to him. But when you put the whole crowd together and you had taken the offering, there would not have been adequate to supply the need. First place, there was not anything close enough really to go and buy for the folks that were out at this scene where our Lord would teach them. First thing I want us to see in the message this morning is that the opportunity of faith is given. The opportunity of faith. Now the Bible teaches that the just shall live by faith. The Old Testament passage is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. Philip is approached and the Lord said to him, we need to feed them. He said, well, if we had even this amount of money and we bought it all in bread, it wouldn't be adequate. How right he was. The Lord of course, approached him, and he said this, "It's not enough, not enough." Yet he had before him one of the greatest opportunities that can be afforded mankind, is to exercise faith and to respond to what the Lord directs in his life. Then we have Andrew. And let me digress a little bit about Andrew. I think that Andrew would be one of those that would be categorized as having a servant's heart. And he was rather observant. While others would have just been milling around in the crowd, Andrew began to surmise what they had. He said, "The only thing we got here is just a little lad with barley loaves and a couple of small fishes." Brother Bill mentioned between Sunday school and the morning services that he is glad I didn't mention the little catfish that he and Bob caught and the big one I caught. No, that's not what he said. If it'd take all of them I caught in my lifetime put together to make one big one. Can I just tell this story? It'd take time to tell it. I fished that old Clear Fork of the Trinity River ever since I was just a kid. I mean, either using an old willow pole or fortunately sometimes a cane pole. And I always had that hope down in my heart that I'd going to catch one of those big ones sometime. Never did. I'm not out of that creek. But we had a flood there that kept that creek up at least half, two-thirds bank for about a week. And my sister and neighbor woman walked down there and rolled a 15-pound catfish up right in a menace thing. And I'd fished that thing all of my life trying to catch one decent fish. Boy, that brings you way down low. And it takes, as the old boy said, the wind out of your sail. That was a fish I'd been fishing for all the time. But he wasn't there. But nonetheless, Andrew had surmised that there was a little bit here. But he was half-hearted about the thing, and he was probably the best in the crowd as far as evaluating the circumstances. And he said, "This is what we've got, but what's that among so many? This is not adequate." But do you realize that the whole issue is not what Andrew can count, nor what Philip might put together, but the issue is the ability of Jesus Christ. The ability of Jesus Christ. And that's always the case in an opportunity of faith. It is not to determine what we can do, and I think we ought to give some consideration in areas of life. Any Baptist preacher can work giving into a message, so I will. I think we need, as individual believers, to evaluate what we ought to do as far as the work of the Lord is concerned. But when it really comes down to the issue of faith, it's what Jesus Christ can do. Can he take what we give him and do something with it? And he can. And he did. In this particular case that is before us, he certainly did take the five loaves and the two small fishes and blessed it. If I had time, I'd give you a formula for the age. I'll just mention it and go on through. That when it's brought to Jesus, he blesses it. He gives it back to the disciples, and then there's adequate. I want you to know that I have never felt like that in and of myself I could preach a message. But God's blessed me with a few along the way that have helped folks in the area of faith. But I want you to know that we just do not have that capacity within us, but Jesus Christ does. God can take a vessel and make it a vessel fit for His use. And if there's anything ever done, we'll have to say, thank you, Lord, for your marvelous grace, because you're the one that has accomplished whatever is accomplished. So there is an opportunity of faith in this particular case. One just shook his head, the other half-hearted about it. And we may be the same, but thank God Jesus Christ is able. He's able. And He could come down from heaven, down to planet earth, robe Himself in the flesh of a man and walk among men, go all the way to Calvary's cross, and whenever He had finished that work, He could say, it is finished. The great multitude can be fed today. Do you realize that from generation to generation, that the grace of God is never diminished? It's still adequate today. To save to the uttermost every person that will come unto God by Him. And the reason is He lives. Proven that He has conquered death. And the grave has no more claim upon Him. And ultimately it'll have to turn us loose if we should so go through that experience in life. The opportunity of faith is given. And you somewhere will be confronted with the opportunity of faith in this life. And I trust that you'll do a better job than Philip or Andrew or this preacher has ever done. And exercise the faith in an appropriate, proper manner that will bring glory to Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, Jesus gives the instruction. First thing He does, He said, well, have the folks sit down. There's reason for that. I think it would have been easier for the disciples to go among them, but have you ever tried to eat standing up? It's just not nearly as comfortable as being seated. There's something about being at a table, sitting down around good friends, loved ones, the saints of God. What a time to enjoy one another. It's a good time, always a good time. But He said to the disciples, said, seat the crowd. Then Jesus takes what they have. He did not go outside the realm of what they had. He's going to prove Himself because He knew what He'd do. They didn't realize at that moment what He would do or could do. But Jesus takes what they have. And Jesus can take what you have and do something with it. I'm up to you, I would likely say this and be right, that we might be really be surprised how far the widow's two mites reached. Whenever they stood over here, Jesus and the disciples, and He watched the folks come by the offering, and finally He said to the disciples, she's given more than all of them. And that meant she'd given more than any one of them, or all of them collectively. Because God was going to use it. But she gave it in faith. She said they've given of their means. But she's given all that she has. Now it's one thing to give out of abundance, but it's another thing when you give everything you've got. And I'm persuaded that her gift was blessed of God in a measure that would probably just astound us today, what He can do with so little. So Jesus took what they have and He blessed it. He's the one that's going to have to breathe on it, bless it. You and I cannot do that. The best normally that we can say is be warmed and be filled and then walk away cold. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ can bless and give a covering that is adequate and sufficient. Won't be a fig leaf apron either. It'll be a coat of skins. It'll be a complete salvation that Jesus Christ will provide. But he blessed what was brought to him by the disciples. Then in turn he gave it again to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Thank God that we as believers are privileged to enter into the labor. I'm just thankful that he accounts me faithful, putting me in the ministry, allowed me to preach. Most of us, from a preacher's standpoint, we think in terms of, well, I wonder what I'm going to get out of it. But truth of the matter is, we ought to be grateful enough to the Lord to just be grateful for the privilege of serving him and preaching and sharing the gospel with somebody today. The story is told, I've told it on a couple of our men, about how that, and it's not true, this is a preacher's story, but you got to bring the new preachers down to earth now and then. So I usually tell the story something to this effect, that they'd come and want to preach, and I tell them, you're not ready. They'd come back and say, I'm ready to preach, and I say, you're not ready. And then whenever they get to the place that they come and say, I'm willing to pay to preach, you can tell them, you're ready. You're ready. Well, we tell this as a joke, but is it not true that we ought to be willing to pay the Lord just for the privilege that's afforded us to serve him today? He takes that which was given to him, he blesses it and gives it back to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Now, the ability of Jesus. Well, we have to speak of the limited, first of all. Man cannot. Man cannot. Philip said, just not enough money here. Andrew said, what's that among so many? It's not adequate. Man cannot. But I want to share this with you. Jesus can because of his person, who he is. If you don't believe that, go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Read through that chapter and you'll find out that he can speak a world into existence from nothing. You don't think that's important? It is important. What's the first thing that Paul really preached to the folks on Mars Hill? It wasn't necessarily, in this sense, Calvary's cross and the blood that he shed. But he said, he's the maker of heaven and earth, and that's the one you have to worship. When he got their attention about worship, then he told them of Jesus Christ, who had died on an old rugged cross to save sinners. So that it would be understood that Jesus Christ was paying the price. The ability of Jesus. Jesus can because of his person. Jesus can because of his determination. There are some interesting statements that are made about Jesus Christ whenever he was here on earth. He would tell his disciples more than once that I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of wicked men. I'll be crucified and raised again. Peter said, far be that from you, Lord. Don't stoop to that level. If you were just to put it down in the vernacular, basically that's what Peter was saying. Don't stoop that low. Well, I'll tell you what, he had to stoop that low. Amen. To raise us up to where we would be called the sons of God today. Amen. But he was determined. As our Lord in the final week of his life was going to Jerusalem. That was determined. He started out. He came to a city of Samaria. And he was somewhat welcome for a time until they found out he was going on to Jerusalem. And then things fell apart. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem. The Samaritans didn't think much of the Jews, and the Jews didn't think much of the Samaritans. And so this city was there, and finally James and John said, "Let's just call fire down from heaven and settle this thing." The Lord said, "You don't even know what manner of spirit you're of to, as you would say such." But the Bible teaches that our Lord Jesus Christ, with a determination in his mind and a determined look on his face, with a determination in his heart, "I'm going to Jerusalem." Amen. Because outside the city of Jerusalem, on the hill called Calvary, there's a cross. And that cross is required for men's salvation today. Our Lord Jesus Christ can because of his determination. Jesus can save today because of his sacrifice. He can save to the uttermost. Jesus can because he'll conquer death. I'll tell you what. I've got loved ones on the other side. I've got a lot of friends on the other side. And it seems like more and more, as a fellow said, I've got more on the other side than it's on this side. And as you live longer, that becomes more true every day. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ went into the grave. But it could not hold him. It did not hold him. He came forth in victory.
Amen.
Final point today, and basically this would be the conclusion. We ask a question to speak to the end that we want to accomplish. Can Jesus save you? Can Jesus save you? Emphatically, yes, he can. He can save. Not only can he save you, but he will save you if you'll trust him. He knows what he can do and what he will do. You and I, we put a question mark before most things in life. But Jesus Christ left no question unanswered. He left no stone unturned. He left nothing lacking to save you today. Jesus Christ can save to the uttermost. Let's stand together.